promote personality. He does not go places to promote himself. He goes because he has a word from the Lord to share with somebody else. He has come to this conference, consented to be here. And I do know that if you will stay as attentive to the Holy Ghost, as you stayed for choir songs and Brother Bembry's message, it will be worth staying another hour to hear the word of the Lord and to rejoice with God. It will be worth that. We got to seize the moment. These meetings do not come every other week. A lot of our churches are being touched by ministries that have not been touched in this wise in a long time. That's why you spend yourself a little extra. You extend your time up at night a little longer, because you've got to seize what God is giving to us at this time. Brother Arnold, we thank you for being here. We know that we, again, are going to hear what the Spirit says to the church. From Gainesville, Florida, Brother Jeff Arnold, let's give him and the Lord a hand tonight. Should we praise the Lord for just a minute? Come on, could we just thank the Lord for just a minute? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And praise the Lord, everybody. So glad to be with you. Greet all of you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thanking you for the invitation to come. I've just been fed and filled so much, I could just say amen, let's go eat. I wouldn't feel bad about it at all. In fact, I'd buy you a steak, Brother Bembry. My Lord, you fed us a steak. Hallelujah. Woo. I'm just going to have to buy the tape. I couldn't write notes fast enough. It ain't right for somebody to have that much to say. Hallelujah. Praise God. And pray that you'll just give me just a few minutes of your time. It's kind of hard sometimes in a conference to take it way up, bring it back down, bring it way up, bring it way down, and try to take it into the bleacher somewhere. And I realize it's 5 minutes to 10 by my watch. I'll be due in bed in about 15, 20 minutes. But I still want to talk to you for just a little while. If you have your Bible, and I want to just turn to three portions of Scripture, 1 Kings 18, Luke 5, John 21. 1 Kings 18. Thank you, Brother Holland, and all that were involved with inviting me to your conference. It's my honor to be here with you. And you know, I didn't even know the name of this conference until I saw the sign. I knew I was going to Tennessee to be at some kind of revival conference, but I didn't even know the name of the conference. And so unique, because the Lord gave me a scripture about the conference. 1 Kings 18, verse 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Here it is. Then the fire of the Lord fell. Consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. I want you to pay particular attention to the last words of verse 36. That I have done all these things at thy word. Luke 5, I know it's unusual to read three passages like this, but I just want to tie them all together. It came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. They were washing their nets. That's what church people do when they don't catch nothing. I'm going to find you. That's right. Got no proof that you're in the business, so you just wash your nets. Must be a fisherman because you're washing your nets. Must be a hunter because you're polishing your gun. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Here it is. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners. These must not have been Pentecostal people, because they were sharing their catch. Weren't concerned whose boat they went in. Now, you've enjoyed Brother Bembry. You're just going to endure me. They beckoned unto their partners that were in the other ship that they should come and help them. And they filled both the ships so that they began to sink. One last reading, John 21. 3:50. Florida time. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship, and immediately that night they caught nothing. But when morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any meat? They answered unto him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast, therefore, and now were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Lord, we really thank you for the awesome presence of God that has been here so real. We thank you for the anointing on the choir, and especially Brother Bembry, and he's kind of short-circuited a lot of our brains, Lord, with all that he told us tonight. We're grateful. Now I need to kind of just speak, and I'm praying that you would anoint me and help me to be a blessing to the people. Somehow that you would release your majesty into this auditorium for a few moments. Release the anointing of God upon us. Give us insight and understanding. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. Clap your hands and shout praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm using these three texts for my sermon, but I will take my sermon title from one that I didn't read. I figured it would take you too long to find it, Ecclesiastes 8:4. It simply says, Where the word of the king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, What doest thou? My message tonight is the awesome power of the King's Word. I wonder if we really grasp how awesome the power of the Word of the King is. We seem to do better when we feel His presence than quote His Word. I would like to help you tonight and make you to understand if you've got His Word, you've got His presence. You see, there's a difference between the awesome, omnipotent presence of God and the manifest presence of God. We like to feel God, but if you don't feel Him, He still be God. Yeah. If you can get a word from the king, you can have your miracle. God doesn't have to knock you out of the seat for you to experience your miracle. All you need is the king's word. Well, let me see. There's a few hundred people here, and six of you said right. Do you understand how awesome and powerful and majestic, all-encompassing, the king's word is? Do you understand what you release from your body and your mind and your mouth when you say at thy word? For the word of God is the greatest force in the universe. For by it the heavens were formed. You're not hearing me. See, you're still waiting for your goosebump machine to kick back up into overdrive. You have to understand that we serve a God who likes to speak. And as powerful and as awesome as God is, He has never and will never make anything with His mouth shut. And you will not get anything with your mouth shut. Well, hallelujah. You don't get points for sitting on your duff and staring. No, you don't. The Bible said, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. It cometh. It didn't say you getteth. It said it cometh. The only way you getteth is when it cometh, you saith yes. You got to open your mouth, because man believes unto salvation with the heart, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You cannot sit in a conference and just stare and nod your head. Nodding your head won't do anything.
I'm sorry to offend you Tennesseans, but this is not a college lecture. See, in a college lecture, here's what I do. I've been to college. I look stupid, but I'm not stupid. I've really been to school. In a college lecture, the professor talks and the student stares. In church, the preacher preaches and the student answers.
I'll make it so easy, even a college graduate could pass this course tonight. All you got to do is say one four-letter word, amen. Amen means it's even so. So when I tell the truth, you say amen. If you don't say amen, that means you think I'm lying. God is great. God is good. God is powerful. God is ready to do miracles, signs, and wonders. God is in this house. God is in my body. God is in my mouth. Just bear with me just a minute. You understand that a puny little thing like us, a pile of dirt, a hunk of clay, who says, nevertheless at thy word, you now fellowship the sublime power that rules the universe just by you saying, at thy word. Little old pathetic puny us join ourselves to omnipotence when we say, at thy word. You're not hearing me yet. At His word, the Bible says, the worlds were framed, Hebrews 11 and 3, by thy word. He framed the universe, the ages, by His word. And when you say, I believe your word, you lock arms and arms with the power that created the universe and unleash the virtue of God into your system.
I'm going to try it again. At thy word, the heavens were made. At thy word, angels were created. At thy word, the seraphim flies faster than light and time. At thy word, the cherubim carries the anointed throne of God through the universe. At thy word, the oceans and seas and rivers were made. At thy word, the earth became a mass of matter when you just spoke it into existence. At thy word, light appeared. And when you say to God, nevertheless, at thy word, you lock hands with omnipotence and victory and glory and miracle. I don't think you're getting it yet. You see,
there's been three sets of Ten Commandments given. Our Bible school's only two. That's because they don't ask me to teach.
There's really three. We usually think Moses went up on the mountain and got the first Ten Commandments, got ticked off, broke down the calf, spread it all over the water, make him drink it, went back up another 40 days, got the second set of Ten Commandments, put it in the Ark of the Covenant. That's our story. But those are the second and third set of Ten Commandments. The first set of Ten Commandments is given to you in Genesis 1. 10 times it's recorded in Genesis 1. And God said. And those Ten Commandments have never been broken. And the other Ten Commandments ain't never been kept. Until the one who spoke the first set of Ten Commandments locked himself in a body of flesh and walked among us and fulfilled his own law. You got to hear me. When God comes on the scene, he comes on with authority and power. He says, let there be light. Let there be a firmament. Let there be waters. Let there be oceans. Let there be seas. Let there be a resurrection. Let the water lift above the water. Let there be a firmament made. When God walks into your situation, he's talking. Let this happen. Let that happen. And when you speak the word of God, you're doing the same thing he's doing. At thy word is so full of power, the devil wouldn't go by Job's ranch unless he got a note from you. You might as well laugh. I'm coming right down where you live. You people sucking your thumb and worrying about the devil going to eat your lunch and beat your family up and steal your kids. You're acting crazy. He couldn't touch you on your worst day and God's best. The Bible said the evil one toucheth us not. There's an anointing upon a child of God that the devil cannot get through unless God gives him a word. Even that devil has to obey the word of God. You're not even allowed to get sick unless God allows sickness to get a word from his desk and his throne and let it come by and try you. Nevertheless, at thy word. Sucking our thumb and committing spiritual suicide in our minds because we can't figure out what's going on. Don't you understand something? If any hell breaks loose in your life, it's because heaven gave them a word. But anytime God gives your adversary a word to mess with your life, it has limitations and restrictions. You can go so far and no further. You can take his stuff, but you can't touch his body. Next time you can touch his body, but you can't take his life. After that, there was no more talking. You're not hearing me. When hell comes against you, you ought to say, where's your note? You can't come to me unless my Father gives you permission. Because I am the anointed of the Lord. I am the redeemed of the Lord. This cannot have free course. We are not at the mercy of devils and demons. Nothing can happen to you by accident. Be seated just a second. Now, I'm not trying to mess with your theology. My theology's right. I'm not messing with yours. Mine's right. Hell couldn't touch me if all of hell begged God
unless God says, like he did with Simon. Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift thee. He wants you. He's asked permission for you. But I've prayed for you. I'm going to let him mess with you, but I won't let him steal your faith. Jesus never prayed for his courage. Jesus didn't pray for his hope. He said, I prayed for your faith that it doesn't fail. You need to understand something. There's a vast difference in the mind of God between human courage and divine gifted faith. You may fail, God, but you haven't lost your faith. You may commit a sin, but you haven't lost your faith. You may fall in the mud, but you haven't lost your faith. Your faith is a gift from God. But the devil will lie to us if we fall into sin and do some grievous, stupid stuff, and some of the best of us do. And say, well, you've lost your faith. You ain't lost your faith. He can't take what was given to you by God. He doesn't have a note for that. I'm going to mess with your theology in Tennessee. The human race, according to this Bible, doesn't even have faith until God gives it to you. The Bible said, God giveth to every man a measure of faith. You aren't just born with faith. God gave it to you. Philippians 2:13 says, for it's God that worketh in you, both to will, that means desire, and to do, that means action of his good pleasure. You couldn't even believe till God touched you and gave you faith to believe. You think God would come down and give you faith to believe and then let the devil steal it and rape your soul? Not hardly, my friend. You may fail. You may learn through your mistakes, but you're not going to lose your faith if you have genuine Jesus name, Holy Ghost faith.
Oop, I feel a conclave in the spirit here.
You couldn't come to God if you wanted to. The Bible says you are dead in trespasses. Put a corpse in a coffin and give him a quarter pounder with cheese and see if he eats it. Give him the best pepperoni pizza in the city and see if he gets up and smells it. He can't do it. He's dead. Well, honey, you and I are dead spiritually. We died in the first Adam. You can't just believe in Jesus. No, 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 no. We are dead. We are unconscious to spiritual things. So God has got to come and touch us. And that's the, I'm on tape, and that's the difference between us and Baptists. Baptists believe, I used to be a Baptist, I know. Baptists believe that when God touches you and causes you to have faith to believe, that's the new birth. That's incorrect. That is not full regeneration. That is the quickening of God giving you faith to believe. You can't be born again without the Holy Ghost, and you don't get the Holy Ghost just because God did. Oh man, I'm messing with your minds. God gives you initial faith. Faith has got to develop. Faith has got to grow. That's why God wants you to ingest his word. Faith comes by hearing.
These old boys had fished all night and took nothing, it says. And Jesus, who's a carpenter, what does he know about fishing? Isn't it amazing that you think you're smarter in your field than he is? He's just an old ignorant carpenter. What does he know about fishing? But yeah, what would he know? He just filled the sea with the fish.
The salmon and the trout go upstream because he put it in their makeup to do so. He told them when to spawn, when to lay their eggs, when to do this, when to move. And you're just fussing and cussing because you think he's a carpenter. He said, my word caused the water. My word caused the waters to be full of whales and bass and crappie. My word created the heavens, and then my word said, heavens be full of eagles and sparrows. And you're sitting here still waiting for a goosebump, and God's saying, all I want you to get is a king's word. If you can get the king's word, you can get the power that runs the universe.
Well, my, 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 my. My, 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 my.
Let me show you how I'm just going to mess with you. I'll show you how powerful the king's word is. The king walked in and the earth was baptized with water. Remember? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was out, form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Watch. And God said. You ready? The word of God always follows the move of God. That just killed you cats that don't praise. Watch. And the Spirit of God moved, and then God spoke. But he ain't going to speak where he ain't allowed to move. You folks that don't believe in getting sloppy and crazy and drunk and hickama hokama hooky, you might as well forget trying to listen to the preacher, because it's the move of God that opens up your spirit and opens up your mind so that you can receive that precious royal seed, that you can be saved by what? The engrafted word of God. That's why worship and praise is so important to a service. It's not just emotion and screaming and yelling. It prepares the soil for the seed. Just talking. And God said, he said, in the beginning God created heaven and earth, darkness upon the face of the deep. And God, let there be light. And light just flashed. Boy, I wish I had 2 hours. I'd tell you who God was talking to when he said, let us. I think I will. I'll just mess with it right now. Now, I hate to mess with you, because I know you all have your own theology of this, but I'm allowed to have mine, and I got the mic. And God said, let us make man. Who was God talking to? He was talking to himself. Are you made in the image of God? Do you talk to yourself? Don't you understand that God has no divine character? God does not have character. He has characteristics. He works in things that are characteristic of divine nature, but God does not have character. God has nature. He is a composite of 7 divine attributes that comprise his divine nature. He is knowledge. He is wisdom. He is power. He has 7 divine attributes. And he converses with himself. For the writer of Proverbs says that God counseled with himself. He counseled with himself before the Trinity was ever invented. The knowledge of God counseled with the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God counseled with the power of God. And the power of God did it. The wisdom of God said, should it be done? And the knowledge of God said, well, this is how it should be done. And the power of God said, done. You think I'm kidding you? When you go to buy a car, a refrigerator, stove, an appliance, you don't just walk up and buy it. Watch yourself sometime in the mirror. There's a financial part of you. There's a payment plan part of you. There's a fear of your husband and wife part of you. That's right. You get ready to buy that car. Have you ever seen yourself out on the lot, start talking to yourself? Boy, I like this, man. This is really nice. Boy, I like that color. Bucket seats. Ooh, console. Yeah. Display. I like, and the salesman walks up and says, pardon me, and you go, oh, I'm sorry. Were you talking to somebody? And I was talking to myself. They put you away for doing things like that, talking to yourself. Because after a while you answer yourself. But here's what you do. You look at the car, and the desire part of you says, I want it. And the wise financial part of you says, well, I don't know whether I can pay for it. And the smart part of you says, what will the wife say when I get it? When God said, let there be light, you have to understand something. He couldn't be talking to the darkness because darkness can't create light. And he couldn't be talking to angels because they can't create. They're created. And he couldn't be talking to the devil. There was none. He was all by himself. You got to watch out when God talks to himself. Stuff happens. You think I'm kidding you? You wait till the God of glory starts talking to the God part that's inside you, that believes Him for the miracle that you need, and see if you don't experience the supernatural faster than you can blink your eyes. I said, where the word of the King is, there's power.
I'll get to my sermon in just a second. I just want to show you how powerful the King's word is. The Spirit of God moved. The talking voice of God was manifesting itself. And it looked in the darkness, and the baptism of death was water. And the whole planet was baptized in a watery grave. And you know what the Bible says? If you read Genesis 1, 9 through 11, Reverend, 9 through 11. God said, now watch this, He said, let the waters that be gathered on the earth, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. And let the waters from the waters be separated from the waters that are above the waters. And let there be a firmament in the middle. And it was so. With one word, God spoke to waters and caused them to do two things. Resurrect and vaporize. Engineers tell us, I have an engineering report that says if the earth had that much water on it at that time, that when God spoke to the waters to move, at His word, He lifted 54,460 billion tons of water with one statement. And you're telling God, you ain't got nothing to lift with. That's what the woman of Samaria said. He says, give me a drink. He says, the well, he says, you ain't got nothing to live with. He says, she's selling the word of God. You ain't got nothing to live with. He said, lady, just a few years back, I lifted 54,460 billion tons of water just by saying, get up. And you're going to tell me I can't lift you out of your sin, and I can't lift you out of your depression, and I can't lift you out of your trouble, and I can't pick you up beyond what you are. You don't understand how powerful the word of the King is.
Well, like you said, Brother Bembry, I feel my help here. I'm about ready to preach right now. I'd like to preach with the audience, but I preach in Pentecost. I know how it is to preach in a library. I can preach without you. You need to understand how powerful the King's word is. Would you get me John 21? Could you give the man a mic, Mr. PA man, wherever it is? Just give him a mic. I'll only just be a few hours. At thy word. You ready for this? At thy word, King Nebuchadnezzar went crazy. You ought to thank God, Brother Wilson, good to see you, for the power of the King's word, because His word kept you sane. You think you've kept yourself sane. Oh no, His word garrisons your mind. If the word of God didn't keep us, we'd all go wacko. We'd lose our mind. We'd go crazy under the pressure cooker that we live in. We ought to thank God that the word of God lives in us and abides in us and operates in us, because if it hadn't been for the Lord who is on our side, there's no telling what we would have done. But when your enemy came to seduce you and drag you to a devil's hell, the word of God inside of you said, no. Not your feelings, the word.
Just get me John 21, if you would, Rev. And I'll try to get my sermon and finish it real quick. You must understand this, please, sir, ma'am. The spirit world is completely governed and controlled by the word of God. No, that's weak. You've got to get this. The entire spirit realm is governed by the word of God. The word of God is the supreme authority in the spirit realm, in the material realm, and even in the region of the damned. Don't put up with these fools who say, I'd rather reign in hell than serve in heaven. Sir, nobody reigns in hell but God.
Nobody. Nobody. The devil will not reign in hell. He's not ruling in hell. He's being cast headlong into hell. God rules in hell. God rules among the heathen. God rules in the sinner's life. God rules in the universe. The Word of God is the supreme power in this universe.
Sit down just a second. You got to understand something. God's spoken word is so full of power. It contains all the energy that it needs to perform what it just proclaimed. Yeah. I'm way out there now. All you got to do is sit on your duff right now and let God just give you one word. And it can take a carnal person and make him spiritual. I'll show you how powerful the word of God is. It can get into a 90-year-old lady and make her into a mama. Well, I don't want this rated X, but I am in the Bible. All God's trying to do for Sarah, she's a dried up old gal. The Bible says her womb is dead. She can't reproduce. Abraham ain't in any better shape. He's 99 years old on Jericho walking on a walker. Bible said his body was dead. Hear me now. And all God did for both of them is give them one word. Pow. And that word penetrated that dead womb and it came alive and penetrated Abraham's dead body. And I'm telling you, God can penetrate your dead situation and bring you a resurrection and bring you a fresh answer and bring you new life. And I don't care how dead your church is. All you got to do is get a fresh word from God. And you can have a resurrection. Hey.
Please be seated. I didn't mean to wake you up. I'm going to say it again for you. God's word possesses all the power necessary to perform its own proclamations. Now hear me, I don't want to be unkind. That means you don't need the special singer, and you don't need the certain atmosphere, and you don't need the good preacher. All you need is for the King's word to abide in you and find lodging in the soil of your soul, and it can produce everything it's designed to do. God's word said, son, be created and stand there till I'm done. It ain't moved yet. Moon, stars, take care of the seas, tides, make sure seasons are on the earth, and they comply to the word of God. Now watch, all of nature complies with the word of God. I'm going to go further than any of you. All devils and demons comply with the word of God. Oh yes, they have free course to run to and fro in the rebellion and the disobedient and the heathen at heart, but not thee. Not thee. There ain't a dirty, nasty devil in Tennessee can come over and put its hand on you if your daddy didn't say, permission granted. You got to get this. And if God let you go through a hellacious, horrible trial, it's because your dad stood back and watched the end of the story and said, they're going to make it. And the problem is going to produce maturity. And the problem's going to produce dependency on God. And the problem is going to throw them on their face and make them seek me like they've never seeked me. You got to understand something. God does not start at the beginning. God starts at the end. I don't think you're hearing me. The Bible said God declares the end. Wait a minute. From the beginning. See, we start the story, work through it, and write the conclusion. God messes with us. He starts at the conclusion and works backwards. That's why it's the trial of our faith. But don't worry. If you get a word from the King, he's already in your tomorrow, waiting on you to come.
See, you're only in 1996. Jesus is waiting for you in 97.
You're not hearing me.
See, God's already at the end of your story. So that when he spoke something to you, even though you can't see it, understand it, he's already put all the power in his word to bring you through your trial and your test and to come to the purpose of God. Am I making any sense yet? Just bear with me a minute. I mean, his word. His word talked to a virgin. She got pregnant. Not through sexual procreation. Through the ingestion of the divine word of God. An angel said, you'll be impregnated by the Holy Ghost. What does she say? Let it be unto me according to... 16-year-old kid pregnant with the Holy Ghost. How'd that happen? I just took him at his word. Mary's waddling. Now you think I'm kidding you. God would like to get a whole bunch of you folks pregnant with promise tonight. God would like to penetrate some of our dead spirits and our dead theology and our crazy concepts and just overshadow us and baptize us with a fresh word of faith. I'm going to tell you something. The king's word is so powerful that when they bumped the king off, death couldn't keep him dead. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. How are you coming out? I'm coming out by the word I spoke. Because my word's got power over death, hell, and the grave. My word's got power over Satan, Lucifer, devils, demons, and anybody. When I give anything a word, that grave heard my word. Those angels heard my word. That stone heard my word. When 3 days is up, my word resurrected me. And he come out of that grave. That same word is in this house. And it can resurrect you. It can bring you out of your dead situation. If you just believe it and act upon it. And understand the king's word is powerful.
Sin and Satan ain't going to have the last word. Not only is God going to have the last word, honey, God is the last word. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm not only saying the last word, I be the last word. So if God is the last word, he can afford to let hell do its worst. Because when hell gets finished, the last word's fixing to talk. Oh, you didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. God's going to have the last word in your life. I don't care what you're having to go through. God is going to take center stage and have the last word. I'll try to hurry. According to my Bible, at the word of the Lord, the devil, false prophet, the beast, will all be cast into the lake of fire. At his word. At his word, there's going to be a trumpet sounding, and the church is getting up out of the ground, and anybody alive remains leaving. At his word. He don't care what Wall Street says. He don't care who's playing the World Series or who's watching Luther and who's doing that. He's not interested in that. He's coming back for his church, and his word is going to take precedent and priority over everything that's going on. He's going to shut the entire world down while he snatches his bride out of here. And we're sucking our thumb, almost acting spiritually suicidal, as if we couldn't get through anything. Well, I don't feel God. Well, honey, I don't feel married, but I am. I don't feel like I'm the possessor of heaven and earth, but I am, because God's inside me, and whatever he owns, I own. I don't feel like I'm more than a conqueror, but I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me and gave his life for me. I am greater than my adversary.
Jesus stepped up on the bow of a boat in Mark 4. Storm raging, people puking their guts out, disciples scared half to death, demons laughing. And the word speaks. Quiet. And everything that's anti-God goes. You didn't hear me. All you got to do is get your daddy to walk up and speak a word to the storm that's scaring you. He ain't going to debate it. We argue because we ain't got the power we say we got. But Jesus don't debate. He says, come. Stop. Be still. And he releases the calm that's inside himself to affect the arena that he's now working in. He did that with a word. Why? Because all of nature knows who the boss is. Yes. He may look like a lowly carpenter and a little old raggy tag crew that he's running around with. But when he speaks, the creator of the wind knows how to obey the creator. Hey, quiet! Didn't I tell you let's pass over onto the other side? Yes, but the storm said we were going to pass under. I said we were going to pass over. Why are you afraid? Because we take our signals from our circumstances. And a man with a legion of devils, Jesus don't fuss and cuss with him, doesn't kung fu him, doesn't rustle him to the ground. He just says, come out! And 1,000+ demons say, sure. You're not hearing me. All you got to do is get Jesus to give you one word. It's so full of power. It's full of God's creative power, his governing power, his supreme power, his transforming power. Just one word. Where the word of the king is, there is power. I mean, a man's dead 4 days, named Lazarus. All he does is say, yes. He that's dead 4 days. Now, I've heard all this crazy preaching for years about, well, the good thing he said Lazarus, because if he hadn't taken Lazarus, all the dead had come out. I'll go one better than that. According to Bible history, there were better than 10,000 people in the days of Jesus that was named Lazarus. Let me show you how specific and how finite and how perfect the word of God is. When the master said, Lazarus, tens of thousands of dead spirits who were named Lazarus, that word of the king moved past this one. No, not you. No, not you. Not you. Not you. Not you. You! You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. He knows your zip code. He knows where you are. He knows the trouble you're in. He knows exactly where you are. Don't think you can get lost in the crowd. You're not going to get lost in the darkness. He is so exact. He can speak exactly to you. Am I making any sense yet? I'm trying to help you here, but I'm fighting this thing here. One writer says in the book of Psalms, he sent his word and healed them. We're waiting for him to send his feeling so I feel healed.
Yeah, that's right. That's what we do. You got it. That's it.
If you read the story of the woman in Mark 5 who got healed with the issue of blood, the Bible says she touched the hem of his garment. Immediately, the flow of blood was stopped. Last thing is recorded, and she felt. So she was healed long before she felt.
Long before. That's good. That's good.
Why?
Yeah.
Because she had talked to herself. Mm-hmm. She does just like God does. If I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be whole. I'm going to get a hold of the word. Oh, son. Oh, son. Haven't even got to my sermon yet. Elijah said, would you please, Lord, let everybody know that I've done all these things at thy word. And when he had prayed, the fire fell. The fire will always fall. The answer will always come. if you do it according to His word. Now, hold on. I got a 2-hour sermon to give you in 7 minutes. And I'm not going to finish, but I'll come back tomorrow. Don't bother me. I want you to read, Brother Holland, 21:1, if you don't mind. I'm not boring you guys, am I? I'm trying to give you some information here. I know it's hard to make Pentecostals think and rejoice. We just want to preach Acts 2:38. Preach one God, Jesus' name. Make Pentecostals think.
Yeah.
God has invested His divinity, His omnipotence, His omniscience in His word. His word knows what the body of God knows. His word can do everything that the Spirit of God can do. You got to understand this. You cannot divide or separate the word of God from the essence of God. God's word. Don't you understand what word? Oh, brother, I got to do elementary stuff here. Don't you understand what words are? Words are your thoughts on parade. Words are your feelings on display. When God gives you His word, He just told you what He's thinking. Don't you get what Jesus was? Jesus was God's head and heart in a body. He was the Word of God. Watch the Word work. All He ever does is speak. I'd like to just find any of you theologians that could ever find a scripture where Jesus prayed for anybody. Well, He prayed for us in John 17, but you won't find Him praying for the sick. Who's he going to pray to? The Word didn't have to pray for the sick. The Word speaks to the sick. Be well. Come out. Arise. Be healed. He tells devils. He don't pray about devils. Shut up. Be silent. Don't make me known. Why? Because He's the Word. You got to get a new vision of Jesus. He's the Word. He's a mobile heaven's bread wagon. He's the power of God in a body. He is the manifestation of the invisible God. And God, according to the scriptures, John 4:24, is not what we always claim, a spirit. That is a mistranslation. I don't want to ruin your day, but it's incorrect. The New Testament is written in Greek. There are no indefinite articles in Greek, which a is. And it says, John gives us in 4:24, God is a spirit. That's incorrect translation. It is God is spirit. If He is a spirit, that means He's one of the many. If He is spirit, then all spirits are of Him. He didn't say He is a light. He is light. Didn't say He is a truth. He is truth.
Yes.
Didn't say He is a life. It said He is life. He's the ultimate source of everything.
Yes.
And when you got the Holy Ghost, you got that inside you.
Yes. Come on. Somebody ought to get it.
You don't understand what you got. You got the mind of God. You got the power of God. You got the will of God. You got the strength of God. You got the purpose of God just by having the Word in you.
We don't know God.
Yeah, you're right, Brother Bimbry. We don't really know God.
We don't know God.
We don't know beans. Don't get me started on that one. Jesus was the Word of God. He was the invisible God manifest in a body. To wit, God was in Christ.
In Christ.
Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Well, what was God before he was manifest in the flesh? He was what he always was, spirit. What is God now? He's still spirit. But he's picked up another form. And God can pick up any form he wants without ever doing away with the previous form. He just adds it to his catalog. He doesn't stop being something to become. Oh, man. He doesn't stop being this to become that. He's so vast and awesome, he could just pick up another one. I don't think you're hearing what I'm saying. I can't even get started on this sermon. You don't understand that. You see, God's multiplicity of forms is what messes with our faith. See, we get so used to figuring out how God's going to work. When he shows up different, he messes us up. And that's why when God talked to Moses, he said, well, what's your name? He said, I'm not going to fall into your trap. I know what you stupid humans do. You want to get a catalog and a label so you can always govern it. Tell you what I'll do. I'll just tell you what I am. I am.
I just said, I am what?
You know why, Brother Grisham? Because he knows sooner or later, any kind of manifestation that he makes, if we're not careful, we'll worship God only through and of that manifestation. So that when God manifests himself in a cloud, they will mess with you next time and he'll become a pillar of fire. So that ruins your cloud message. And then when you start preaching that pillar of fire message, he'll mess you up. He'll come down as manna. And after you get your bread message polished real good, he'll stop being bread. He'll be water coming out of a rock. And then after you get your water out of the rock message, he'll really mess you and take you Ezekiel, and he'll become a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Son, he's got a catalog and a litany of expressions that are far beyond us. That's why we need the Word of God to live in us. Because the Word has all the full manifestations of whatever form God wants to take. Well, it's 10 o'clock. It's time for me to quit. I'm sorry I didn't get to my sermon. It's a good one. It really is. I'm even impressed with these notes. I'm just going to finish. I've said enough for you. You know, I'm trying to get you on a wavelength here. You're just kind of befuddled here. You know, God just messes with you. God gets a kick out of changing forms. So he comes walking on the water, and they can't recognize him. Why? Because anytime God does something he ain't never done, it can't be God. And if God ever uses people that ain't part of us, it can't be God. And as much as you don't like the charismatic cowboys, I have to tell you this. God does talk to those folks. He talks to Catholics and Baptists and Presbyterians and Episcopalians. I hate to tell you this, but God ain't working for you. He's going to talk to who he wants to, when he wants to, where he wants to, and how he wants to. He's going to give Cornelius a dream, and he ain't going to ask the general board about it. I'm going to go crazy here in a second. You've got to understand. We got to stop damning and condemning everything that don't look and dress and smell and act like us. God's not anybody's enemy. He's against sin, but he's for the sinner. He wants the lost saved. He wants the damned to be saved. He wants the forsaken to be found. He's not interested in building our little kingdom. He's interested in filling up heaven. I'll just close. Just sit down a second. I'll close. So sorry I missed this message here. Trying to take you beyond where you are. That's why God is spirit. We make such crazy statements like, I know it preaches good. Well, God took nothing and made something. Don't be so stupid. God took nothing and made something. There's no such thing as nothing. God fills from everlasting to everlasting. So what becomes material already existed, invisible. It just is in a different dimension. You didn't hear me. Everything you got need of, he's got a tag with your name on it waiting in a warehouse in the invisible realm, waiting for your faith to latch onto it to bring it manifested here.
God ain't got to create it. It's already. Don't you get it? When God spoke the world into existence, when God piled up dirt and made it the earth, you know what he literally did? Here's what he did, folks. He said, I'm going to make something. And he reached inside himself and made it become material. It already existed. The Bible said, we understand by Hebrews 11 that the things which are seen were not made by the things which do appear. The visible came from the invisible. It existed in that realm in a different form. Your answer is already on the shelf, but it's in an invisible form. But it's your faith and your praise and your trust and your confidence that brings it from that world to manifest into this world. Am I messing up your meeting? I don't mean to mess up your meeting. I'm sorry. I'm not ticked off. I'm not mad. I'm trying to help you. Come on, we're such one-dimensional people. We're hitting our head on Acts 2:38. That's all there is, Acts 2:38. I believe one God. Well, ain't you great? So's the devil. Well, I believe Jesus saves. Well, if you don't, you're a fool. Well, I believe in God. Well, ain't that great? I believe in the moon, Wall Street. I believe in the weather, softball tournaments, sneakers, racket. I believe in a lot of things. Don't you see, when God gets ready to do something, he has to reach inside himself, because there's no place where God ain't. He could not go outside himself. He'd have to go outside himself to find nothing. That's why Solomon said, will God indeed dwell in a little box I built for him? Seeing that the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee? How shall God dwell in this little box I've made? For from everlasting to everlasting thou art God. So God reaches in himself and produces your answer. And God reaches inside himself and manifests a body. Impregnates a little girl and takes on a shell so he can walk among us, so he can pay the price for our redemption. Because God couldn't just forgive you. He had to judicially forgive you. You need to understand something. God cannot arbitrarily just save people. He can't do that. The judge of all the earth must do right. He has to do it judicially. You and I sold ourselves into sin. We became Satan's slaves. Just like if your kids made a capital offense and got put in the penitentiary and 2 weeks later they repented for murdering that girl or that guy, you couldn't walk up to the ward and say, my kid said he was sorry, bring him out. Well, God couldn't do it to the devil. Said, my kids said they were sorry for sinning against me. Let him go. He couldn't do it. God had to legally, judicially do it. So how did he do it? God became what he hated so he could save what he loved. Don't you get it? There are things that God has brought out of his own being that have only been manifested for the story of redemption. And when redemption is finished, oh, this is going to be messing with you now. When redemption is finished, the things that God required to save us will no longer be needed, such as mercy. Mercy is never needed unless forgiveness is required. But once redemption is culminated in the resurrection and the new body, God will take his attribute called mercy, reach out with his awesome hands, fold it up like a garment and stick it back inside his invisible self to be seen never again. You've got to understand that God has everything that you have need of inside himself. He's like an eternal warehouse. And that's why God is trying to take this particular United Pentecostal Church to a dimension and a level beyond our own little foolishness. And he's got to show himself in different forms and different manners. And we have a hard time when God shows up in a different form. We've seen him this way, but we've never seen him as a sea walker. We've seen him as a sea walker. We haven't seen him as a healer. We've seen him as a healer, but we never noticed him as a resurrection. That's why Mary doesn't know who he is, thinks he's the gardener, because he's in another form.
Now I'm going to mess with you and I close. And sometimes God shows up in a form that looks just like your neighbor. God sometimes shows up in a form that looks like a problem that's driving you crazy. Come on, Stan. I'm so sorry, Brother Holland. We didn't get the juke and jam. I pray for these things. And you are right, I do. And I try to hear a word from God. And I felt a direction from the Lord. And yet I told God when I went to this pulpit after Brother Bimbri preached that awesome message, Lord, I just need to talk to these people. And if you take me in the lines of this message, fine. Everybody thinks I'm a great preacher, fine. I don't need them. I'm already a great preacher. I don't need you to tell me that. I am a great preacher. There's no doubt about it. I am a great preacher. Brother Bimbri said so. Anybody that preaches the truth is a great preacher. I preach the truth. I'm a great preacher. Anybody that preaches the truth is a great preacher. We may like some people's delivery better than others, but anybody that lives for the truth and stands for the truth and loves the truth and tries to walk in the light and the truth is a great person. But we've got to ask God something tonight. God, I need a word from the King. We're wanting this evangelism conference fire. We want fire to fall. God gave that scripture to me in 1 Kings 18. Didn't even know what your conference was named. He says, let the people know that I've done all these things according to thy word. And when you do it according to his word, the fire falling is inevitable. The false being destroyed will come. The restoration and revival that you hunger and thirst for will have to come if you do things at thy word. So I'm leaving now and I just want to ask you a question. Let's take inventory. Right, real quick, 60 seconds. Go through your spirit, your attitude, your mind, your ideas, your agendas. What are you playing with and what are you doing and what are you building that's not according to thy word? Come on. What am I yielding myself to? What am I stretching myself for that cannot be aligned with thy word? Do I hate? Do I have bitterness? Am I ugly towards people? Do I hate people that don't dress and act and look like me? I know it sounded humorous when I read my text when I said, these fellas must not have been UPC because they shared their catch. Are we so intimidated by each other in the same city that we stay up and ticked off, aggravated that some of our saints left our sanctuary, went to theirs, as if somehow they were really our saints? I mean, you know, it's so easy to weep with your brother, but it's not so easy to rejoice with them. It's kind of tough when they're getting blessed and you're going through hell on earth. It's kind of tough when you're fighting a battle and you're all by yourself and people don't even believe the truth. Make $100,000 a year plus and dress like jerks and idiots and live like fools and you're trying to do the best you can. And don't you understand that God is Lord over their life also? Why begrudge people things that God allows for them to have? What I'm wanting is a clean heart and a pure spirit. I'm wanting an attitude that I'm not jealous over you. I'd like to be the best preacher in Pentecost. In fact, every day of my life, I've asked God to let me be the greatest preacher in the world. Every day I pray that prayer. Somebody's got to be the greatest preacher. Might as well be me. Somebody's got to be the most effective communicator of truth. Might as well be me. I wish I could preach like some of these guys. I wish I had the brilliance and oratory of some of these guys. I wish I could teach like Charles Grisham. Just talk and just lay the word out like that. It just flows. And I just can't do that. But I'm not going to stay awake at night saying, well, because I can't be like Uncle Charles, I'm not going to be me. Because I can't sing like you, I'm not going to sing in the choir. Because I can't build a building like this, I'm not going to try to build whatever building I could build. That's so stupid. Lord, let everything that I'm trying to do be in accordance with thy word. Let the bottom line of my activities and my agenda be that I might exalt you. And if there's any kind of crossways spirit in me, if there's a lust in me that I fight, then God, let your word somehow slay it. And if I keep fighting and falling into the same mud hole about some habits that I can't seem to whip and I can't seem to overcome, Jesus, would you give me some extra mercy and help me? Oh, man. God is calling this Pentecostal apostolic movement to real transparency, and there seems to be a problem with us that we can't seem to be open. We're always image conscious. We're always make sure everybody thinks good about us. The only opinion that matters is, what does the master think? We were drunks. We were whoremongers. We were liars. Some of us were drug addicts. We were jailbirds. We were thieves. Oh yeah, we weren't always good looking like we are now. We weren't always nice people. We were slime and trash and repulsive to God when grace found us. Let's pray. Let's close our eyes and ask God to take a walk through our minds. That's all. I'm not asking for any big altar call. I want you to let God take a walk through your mind. Take a walk through your emotions. Take a walk through your desires. God, where are we in the economy of things? Lord, Brother Bimbri challenged us to change the atmosphere, so I need the atmosphere inside me changed. David said that if you would help him on his inside, then transgressors would be converted to thee. That you would create in me that clean heart and renew in me that right spirit. If you just do the work in me, if the word would just work in me, God, help me not to lie to myself. Help me not to try to snow job anybody and try to play a game and maintain an image. Please forgive me. Forgive your people for any sin, for any desires, for any practices that for some reason seem to hold us hostage from ever climbing the heights of God's wisdom and glory and purpose for our lives. Jesus, you're the Word made flesh. I ask you for the Word to now be incarnated in me, in this people. Some way, somehow, let us become naked and open before you. Your Word says we're naked and open, but sometimes I don't think we think we are. We can't snow job you. We can't fool you. If we're watching things we shouldn't watch, and if we're renting things we shouldn't rent, and if we're doing things that are not in our best spiritual interest, Father, give us an honest heart. That's all I ask. You can work with honest people, but you never could work with hypocrites. Lord, you've extended great mercy to people who've fallen into sexual misconduct, but you wouldn't extend mercy to people who are religious bigots and hypocrites. Would you deliver us from any smidgen of hypocrisy? Would you forgive us for not caring about people who are not of our color or our race or our creed or our concepts? Would you help us not to hate people who are not Pentecostals? Would you help us, Lord, to deal with everybody with dignity and kindness? Lord, you were gracious when you walked among us. You were kind to people who would eventually crucify you. Lord, I want to be conformed to the image of Jesus so bad. I don't want to be fake, and I don't want to be plastic, and I don't want to be make-believe. I ask you, forgive us for our sins and our trespasses. Forgive us, Lord, for misplaced priorities and wrong arrangements in our lives. Bless this conference, God. Give us some good preachers in the morning to make up for what happened here with me tonight. Let Billy Cole be greatly used tomorrow and give us a harvest. And Lord, I'll just thank you because I tried the best I could, and I felt after you and tried to help the people. Now let's everybody thank God for hearing prayer. Could we just lift our voices and thank Him for hearing prayer? Brother Holland, thank you.